You're listening to 1380 The Woman, St. Louis's only all-woman talk radio station.
Party people!
To record, let's begin. Party on, party people, let me hear some noise. DC's in the house, jump, jump, rejoice. There's a party over here, a party over there. Wave your hands in the air, shake the dairy, yeah. Say three words, can you get in business? Whoop, there it is, hit me.
Story, how when he was a baby, as soon as this came on, he only knew that part. He was like two. The music would play, then he'd go, whoop, there it is, whoop, there it is. And then he wouldn't say anything for the whole, until it got back to the lyric, whoop, there it is. It was so cute.
Yeah.
Tommy was on.
It was. It was very good.
So it's time, Kelly, for Game On.
Game On it is. Time to win.
Yes, indeed. You got to name that
tune. And our prize pot just got bigger.
It's huge.
Okay, so we have Steve's Hot Dogs, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been there, you're missing out. Mm-hmm. I've been there. Love it. Okay, but now, since Tia just came in, if you want to do a little shopping over the Labor Day weekend, we have two tickets to Glam Slam, which is Total Look Style Competition for Best in St. Louis. Yeah, so two tickets. And, so there you go. What's our number here to call?
314-969-1380. 314-969-1380. We're getting ready to play a song for you. This should be easy. If you've been listening to the whole show, you should be already ready for it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to give a hint? I mean, we know who's singing the song.
So tell us what
we're
the song
that.
Is.
Yeah. We're playing a Michael Jackson song in honor of his birthday.
Mm-hmm. Which is today.
But you 29th. Have to name the tune now.
Name it. Here it goes.
Okay. Aww.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street.
All right. You think you know it?
Yes, you know. You can call us 314-969-1380. You know what? I was playing some songs today, Kelly. I was thinking, man, you have a lot of good songs. A lot of good songs. You know, the songs are a timeline. They save your life.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I remember that. I remember my friend had a Jerry curl. I had the Farrah Fawcett flip then. You know.
I had the Farrah Fawcett flip.
Everyone did. I told my kids that in school that everyone, I don't care what color you were, you tried to flip your Farrah Fawcett hair. Your hair like Farrah Fawcett.
That is so true.
I want to say real quick, my dad sent me a text, Kelly, because they went to see The Butler the other day. They called and said, we're going at 10 o'clock in the morning. They were so excited.
Wow. Can't have popcorn at 10 o'clock in the morning.
My dad said they bought popcorn. The text says $600 for a small. Ouch. I think he meant $6. But even still, that's a lot of money. But I asked them, how did you like the movie? And they said it was, they were glad they went to see it, but it was difficult to watch.
Really?
And I forget, they lived through that.
Oh, gotcha,
they lived through
yes.
the time. They had friends who were, you know, beat.
I heard it's an amazing woman. Movie.
It's an amazing movie, and it's the timeline, you know, of this butler's life, and you should go out and see it and support it. It's a great movie. But my mother lived in Alabama with that governor that stood in the way to keep the school from being segregated and all that. So she, as a little girl, was watching this on TV.
Mm.
So she said it just brought back, it was good to see, and I was glad I went, but it was hurtful because I had relatives that were hurt or injured or killed during that movement. And so some of those things brought back that pain of making me remember, oh, I had forgotten about that. That did happen in our life.
Yeah.
So they said it was difficult to watch, but they're glad they saw it and that other people should go see it too, all people, because it's America. And she also forgot about some of the presidents and the things that they did to help with the improvement of civil rights.
That's right.
And the ones that didn't. So
look how it's changed.
Yeah.
Keeps evolving. Thank goodness.
Yes, thank goodness. So, here we go. We have our wonderful Getting Personal section, and I hope someone will call in and win that two gifts.
Yes. Steve's Hot Dogs and two tickets to Grand Slam. Grand Slam.
Kelly is being quite generous today with her gift bag, so make sure 314-969-1380. Getting personal now, Kelly. It's time. Do you want to find out how you can advance in your career?
Yes.
All right, good, because you have the right person. Rick Tamlin's on the line. Rick, welcome to the show.
Hey, hi there. Thanks so much.
Hi, Rick. Oh, you motivated me already with that hello. I'm like, yeah, hi.
I know.
Hey, well, Rick, how are you?
Well, can I just say, I've been listening to the Michael Jackson. You guys been playing Michael Jackson?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, my era, right? I mean,
yeah, me too.
Was that an amazing era of creativity?
Yes.
Right? And that's what it's about.
It. You know, his career path never was halted, was it? He continued to pursue.
Correct. You know, we're going to talk about careers here today, and it is all about finding the creativity that lives in all of us, because every single one of us has it in us, and it's about daring to express it.
All
and
right.
Talking about doing that, Michael Jackson, right? What an amazing role model of a full expression of our creativity.
Wow, I've never heard of it put that way, but you're so right. You're so right. So tell us how you became equipped, empowered to be a self-empowerment expert before we delve into everything else, Rick.
Well, I've been coaching and doing leadership development for individuals and leaders and organizations and churches for the last 20 years of my life, and have been fascinated by the process of what motivates, what activates in us as human beings, what wants us to, you know, what creates that energy that wants us to get out of bed and go create something that's ours and put a, you know, rubber stamp of, that's my work in the world. And I think it was you, Cassandra, I was listening to you, I've been listening to your show for the last hour, and you asked this great question, by the way, that said, you know, how are you going to use your life? Right? I mean, because that's the thing, we want to get to the end of our life, and we want to look back and say, that's what I did. Right. Rather than, oh, I wish I had.
Wow, yes, very good point.
And that was my dad's message to me, you know. So,
and Rick, you know, I've heard that statement said a different way too. How are you going to use your one and only life?
Right.
Even more poignant.
Even more poignant, right? I mean, who knows? Maybe we have a couple of lives. I mean, wouldn't that be great?
But it's the only one we know.
Only one we know.
Absolutely. Yes,
exactly.
And we waste so much on it, wondering what if or not doing what we want to do.
Absolutely.
Right. Well, to your point. We spend so much energy, and I'm going to call them comfort zones. You know, in the new book that's coming out in the fall, Play Your Bigger Game, there's a whole concept in there around comfort zones. And this is the behaviors, the patterns, the thoughts that we drift towards. It's not comfortable many times, but we actually drift towards these things that don't serve us. You know, that anxiety, that worry, and we're not actually putting energy and thoughts in the direction of what do we want to create. What we're putting direction in is what's not working.
You're right.
You know, because our life goes in the direction of the words that fall out of our mouth.
That's so true. And say that again, please.
Our life goes in the direction of the words that fall out of our mouth.
Wow.
Now, we all know people who are complainers, right?
Okay.
No, not to make them wrong or bad, but we all get to complain in life sometimes. But what do you notice about those people that are constantly complaining? What are they creating more of?
Negativity.
More things to complain about.
Right, they're stagnant. They're stagnant.
It's exactly. Mm-hmm. And then there's a whole list, and they go on and on, right? And then we don't really want to be around them. And then, you know, their sort of level of attraction or people wanting to be near them to help them or support them just goes down.
Sure.
So you guys get it. And I just want to say one more thing to the both of you. Again, I've been listening to your show. You are playing a bigger game. What I mean by that is you're putting a great message out there in the world about what's positive, what we can do to make change in our lives, in our communities, in our organizations, in our schools. I just want to say you guys are on it. You are
Thank you. Totally singing my song. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate
that
so much. Well, what about the person that's not sure if they're in the right place, and they come to you and say, I want to quit my job? What do you say?
They're playing that bigger game.
Absolutely. Totally understand, right? See, we have a circumstances in life, and for many of us, and this is true for every single one of us, right? We get into a survival mode. Not bad. It's just like we have to survive. We've got to put food on the table. We have children, et cetera, right? Now, what I would say to that person, first of all, is don't react quickly, right? That sort of knee-jerk, I'm going to quit my job.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Nothing creates more anxiety in a system or a family or an organization when you sort of quit and there's no income. And now there's too much tension.
Sure.
So I'm always, first of all, slow it down. It's about transition. It's not about reaction.
I like that.
we all of us want to react so quickly and make these big decisions instead of like, okay, for now I'm going to be transitioning. I'm going to give myself 2 to 3 years. What is the hunger that I want to activate in myself and the work I want to go do in the world? And start to have conversations with a coach or a person and start to shift that thinking towards, okay, what might I be able to go create? By the way, inside my job, because I work with a lot of people who redefine the job they have, because here's what I notice. Organizations, they say to their people, we really want you to do your best here. And many people aren't doing the right job. So I'm always telling folks, go off and have a conversation with your boss or go have a conversation with whoever you need to and see if you can redesign the job before you leave it. Many, many times they come back and say, oh, my gosh, I almost got everything I wanted because they want me to be happy. And when I'm happy, they're happy and everybody wins, right, because everybody's motivated. So the redesign conversation is what I tell people to try first.
Okay. Kind of like finding the positive in what you have.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so I see the statement that take this job and shove it. Well, that's not... That seems like I might get burned some bridges.
Yeah,
is that okay?
That was a song, wasn't it?
It's
take this
a,
job
well, you know,
and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Yeah. I know I use that phrase because it does, first of all, it's a little cute, right? It has a little ring to it. It is a song, as you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But it is that part of us. It speaks to the part of us that says, no more. I'm not going to tolerate this anymore. Because we get caught in sometimes a thought pattern of tolerating, you know, mm-hmm. this sort of low-grade fever, right? That low-grade fever.
Yeah.
Sometimes you actually have to give yourself permission to go, I'm not doing this anymore, I'm done. And that's the take the job and shove it. Now, I wouldn't recommend it literally saying that to somebody because of the impact of that.
Uh-huh. Right.
You know, but you get it.
Leave quicker.
Right. Yeah, it's a little moment of, oh, you don't want to be here. Well, we're going to send you out the door.
Right. And someone will be right there to take your job. Let me ask you this, Rick.
Exactly.
What about, are you a proponent for people that, let's use education as an example. In education, at least at the high school, secondary, that level, not college, if you go back to school and get a master's and then maybe some hours beyond a master's up to a PhD, they pay you more every time you go back to school. It's an incentive so they can say they have these teachers that have this education that get paid more from the state. Would you recommend someone doing that? Because it costs money to get the education so that they can further their career? Or how would you tell somebody to handle that situation?
That's a great question. I would, first of all, find out what is the reason they're going back to school just to get the higher pay, or are they actually deeply interested in and deeply passionate about the topic?
Okay.
Because if you're not actually deeply passionate about the topic to go study, oh my gosh, what a grueling 3 to 4 years, right? First of all, you're sort of slogging your way through it.
Right. Sure. That's a good
point. And you know, then they're going to become a subject matter expert on something that really matters to them. Because then they go off into the world and as they speak about this thing they've learned, they're so passionate about it, you want to be near them, you want to hear them. And now they become a subject matter expert about something that matters to them deeply, rather than they're doing it just for the sake of the next level of an income. I'm not a big fan of doing things for the sake of the next level of income.
Right.
You know, that's a loop we get caught in, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying never do that, but oh my gosh, we've all heard that phrase, you know, do what you love, the money will follow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it's so true. We read about it over and over again. We forget.
Sure.
You know.
So you were talking earlier, and you were saying, you know, we're comfortable. We're in that comfort zone. So you talk about that, but in your book, Play Your Bigger Game, so tell us the concept of Play Your Bigger Game, and how do we get out of that comfort zone?
Right. Well, first of all, to your point of the bigger game, I created a very simple model. It's really like a tool. You know, a tic-tac-toe board?
Yes.
Imagine a tic-tac-toe board in your mind. There's 9 squares, and in each square there's a word. I'm not going to go through all of them on the call with you today. But each square, the word in that square, its job is to activate your thinking, right? And so in one square, in the upper left-hand corner of the tic-tac-toe board, is the square comfort zone. And comfort zones, again, are those thoughts, patterns, things we do that either serve us or don't serve us. They're not necessarily bad or wrong. Like brushing your teeth every day, right? You both brush your teeth every day, right?
Of course.
Right.
Sometimes.
Right. Yeah, sometimes. Yeah,
sometimes twice.
Of course. That's a comfort zone. the place to look in that, or the question to ask, is, does it serve me? It does, right?
And does it?
Yes.
Right, of course. Now, going to the gym every day, another comfort zone maybe serves us. Thinking about going to the gym every day, you know, that comfort zone, that pattern, how many of us, ever have that in your life where you think about doing something but you don't do it?
All the time.
All the time, right? So that's part of the game board, because when we get conscious of these behaviors, then we can actually start to change them. And let me just then speak to another square on the bigger game board, which is on the other side of comfort zones, is compelling purpose. Compelling purpose. Fancy language for what matters to you most in your life right now, and what do you want to do about it? And that's the energy that we all have in all of us, the ability to go create something if we put our mind to it and we're compelled rather than we're forced or pushed. You all know those stories. We all have read these stories where a child is sort of not a pretty story, but the child is caught under the car, right? And the mother actually has the ability to raise the car enough so the child can be pulled out. You know that? Heard those?
Yes.
Now, that physically, that doesn't make sense. But I use that as an example because that is that energy that every single one of us has in us when we let ourselves become that compelled by something that matters. And I think the biggest comfort zone for most of us in our culture is we don't actually let ourselves want a lot for our lives, for our families, for our schools, our country, because we get resigned. We go, well, I can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Resignation is the like the death of leadership, right? It's like, well, I can't do anything about it, so why bother?
Mm.
And that is just painful. So the bigger game board asks a lot of questions, and it activates a lot of questions in us and says, well, what really matters, and what do I want to do about it? You know, I know a cultural example that we all know. It's a great example of a bigger game player is, you know, Aaron Brockovich. We all know that story, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Average citizen. This thing comes across her screen in her life, and she goes, that is not okay with me. I got to do something about that. Now, who does she become? She becomes a leader. She becomes a millionaire. You know, now, that's an exception maybe, but we all have that potential. Every single one of us.
So let me ask you this,
yep.
Rick. Do you think that people should have a singular focus? Because personalities like myself and Kelly,
yeah.
I have never been one to do one thing.
Understand.
So even to this day, and not that, and sometimes I'm like, I'm going to drop one of them. But even to this day, I host
right.
a television show I've been doing for 11 years.
Yeah, yeah.
It's monthly, so I only have to do it once, twice. Well, I do four shows in a month, let's put
right.
it that way.
Right.
I have this radio show now, this daily, this started in May.
Great.
I am a... also a teacher. I teach in education during the school year, and I'm off in the summers. And then I'm an author, and so I write from time to time, but that's not as I don't have to do that all the time. Sometimes I feel like I'm doing everything I love, but sometimes I wonder, is it not a good thing to be so busy? Because I'm also a mom. My kids are getting older now. Is it not good to have your hand in so many fires? Should you tailor back? Or Kelly, Yolanda, and I, who's our producer, we're on the right track because we like it all.
No, and another great
And I'm
question.
Married.
Yeah, understand. Well, first of all, it's a personality thing, right? It feeds you to do all this, correct?
Well, okay.
But we're
yes
exhausted.
And no.
Yes
right.
and no.
Because
I
have a family to take care of,
understand.
So I enjoy that. I enjoy taking care of my family, and some things got added. I was doing two, and I ended up adding a third, and
right.
I like them all. So to answer that, yes, I like them all, but I want to make sure that nothing's suffering.
Of course. Well, that's the dance of it,
same
right?
Thing.
There's the putting your attention in how many hours in a week over here, and, you know, it's never perfectly balanced,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But let me offer a perspective about this. That's I make up in my mind, having listened to you now and having listened to your show for the last hour, that you are very clear about the message you want to bring to the world and why you do this work.
That's true.
Right? So you are playing, in my language, you are playing your bigger game. The way it's being expressed is in many different forms. Radio, television, parenting, teaching, and we have a culture that I dare say gets caught or stopped by it has to be the perfect form. You know what I mean by form? Like, I want to make sure that word makes sense.
I know what you mean. Almost like a 9-to-5. You have
yes,
to just
right.
have
go
one
home,
job.
Cook dinner, sit down, and watch TV.
Right.
And
correct.
Get to bed.
And it's okay to watch TV for 4 hours, but
of
not to go
work,
host a television show, which you can help people with.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So the variety in which your bigger game shows up is... It serves you, and it's serving us, right? Here I am on a radio show with you talking about my message. Thank you so much, by the way.
Yeah, we're glad to have you.
And you know, you're getting value from it on this show, and then you're going to go off and do the teaching, and it all feeds you. And we get caught. We have a culture that says, you know, the right career, as you all both said, sort of the 9-to-5 thinking, rather than throughout my life, what are the different means, what are the different ways I can express the different messages, the different kind of work I want to bring to the world. And we started this call with the Michael Jackson conversation, right? I mean, yeah. Dancing, singing, producing, yeah. Writing.
Mm-hmm. Acting.
Acting.
Mm-hmm.
And I dare say that can live in all of us. You know, teaching for a while, and then I'm off working with a church group, and, you know, so it doesn't, we get caught in a career thinking rather than a purpose life. You know, what's the purpose of my life rather than what's the career that I'm trying to create in my life?
I understand. Is it kind of like Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life?
Yes, absolutely.
Understood.
Good stuff.
I like the way you summarize that. What about you, Kelly?
I love it. And what do you mean when you say it's all made up?
I know, that was that phrase, it hit me, I don't know, 25 years ago I was in this workshop and it sort of popped out of my mouth. I said, you know, well, it's all made up anyway. and the room kind of was like, you know, that was sort of like the oxygen went out of the room.
Yes.
Like, oh, yeah, you're right, it really is. And it's simple. It just simply means that life is really made up. We get to make it up. And we in the United States, we are blessed to be able to have freedom and create the life we want. And we sometimes forget that we literally can make it up every single day by the perspective we choose to have, by the attitude we choose to have, by the interactions we choose to create or not create. You know, that is truly made up.
You are
wow.
So right. And, I mean, it really comes, I'm listening to you, I'm like, yeah, she just put in perspective everything
Yes, and it does kind of settle you, especially in Kelly and I, in our lives, because sometimes you think people look at you like, what's going on?
Oh, I know. How do you do all? What are you? You're so busy.
Right,
it's like,
right.
Really?
But not too busy for the important things.
Right.
And I want to say, you've heard of 6 degrees of separation, Rick?
Absolutely. Oh, it's in my workshop. It's brilliant.
And you have done some workshops for the Washington Post?
Yes.
A friend of mine that I've known since fifth grade is a writer there. 6 degrees of separation.
There you
say
go.
That.
Absolutely. Well, let me just link to that. When you start to play a bigger game and you get really clear about the work you want to go create in the world, people show up that you just could never have imagined.
That's true.
Are a part of the deal. Like I was doing some work in Los Angeles and in a bigger game workshop, actually, which is a 2-day workshop experience. And in the room, somebody said, you know, I know Lisa Gibbons. And Lisa Gibbons is, quote-unquote, playing a bigger game because she's building hospitals for the elderly with Alzheimer's, because her mom at the time had Alzheimer's.
Wow.
And this person came up to me and said, you know, you need to have lunch with her. A week later, I'm having lunch on Sunset Boulevard with Lisa Gibbons talking about co-creating an event to raise money for nursing homes to boost that she wanted to build for folks with Alzheimer's. You know, could never have imagined that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's the, when you start to play a bigger game, get ready. Stuff just starts to show up.
I agree. It's
very,
I agree.
Very,
you know, I met Kelly, I interviewed her back in the winter.
Oh, you did? Show up.
Yeah, she came to my television show. The one I told you about, and then she told me that she wanted to put together a radio show. So, and then months later, this comes about, and then yesterday she co-hosted for me on that same television show, which I'm sure she never thought about she'd be doing. So it's funny how it comes together.
Yes,
Rick Tamlyn, you have a website, ricktamlyn.com, to get more information and for booking as well.
Perfect, absolutely. Yes, go. Everything's there, and there's a free downloadable thing, and a new book coming out October 1st. We're very excited about.
Well, you are extremely motivating, extremely inspiring, and I love looking at your website myself. It's such an honor to get to talk to you, and I feel glowing on the inside right now.
Well,
I'm not crazy after all.
No, not at all.
I'm just playing a bigger game, Rick.
You're playing a bigger game.
Who knew?
Kelly, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Same here, Rick. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, we're going to go to break, and we're going to come back with sharing with Cassandra. I believe this is going to kind of have a little bit to do with Michael Jackson,
it
huh?
It is.
Wonderful. All right. Well, it just keeps getting better and better on here, and I truly enjoyed that interview. Rick, thanks for motivating us, and look forward to hearing more from you. Coming up next, sharing with Cassandra, right here on 1380 The Woman and 1380thewoman.com.
You're listening to 1380 The Woman, St. Louis's only all-woman talk radio station.